Hey, this is Dylan Neely. We're pumped that you're joining with us today. If you're part of our King's Church family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you via social media at King's Church KC and on our website at kingschurchkc.com, where you can learn more about taking your next step as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other King's Church family across Kansas City. I hope this word today encourages you and inspires you to follow Jesus. Let's jump into the message. Good morning. How are we doing? Good. Hey, Merry Christmas. Do me a favor one more time. Turn to a different neighbor. Just give him a big Merry Christmas. That's what I'm talking about. Well, hey, this is my favorite time of year. I get excited. I get to eat a lot of food, see a lot of lights. Everything feels happy. Before I jump into the message, I just like to get to know who I'm talking to. And so I'm going to just do a little Christmas survey. I need to know what your favorite Christmas movie is, okay? So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to shout out what your favorite Christmas movie is, and then we'll kind of pick a winner from there, okay? So one, two, three, shout it. Okay. I'm going to walk you through a few just to kind of see if you hear yours or you see it on the screen, will you just clap your hands or shout for joy when you see your favorite Christmas movie? Okay, first and foremost, Miracle on 34th Street. How many people? All right. Okay, how about A Christmas Carol? You just really love some ghost at the Christmas time, you know, okay? What about, this is my family tradition. Every year we'd string popcorn and cranberries and we would watch It's a Wonderful Life. How many people? It's a Wonderful Life. Okay. What about, you're a little on the edge. You like to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's you. Okay, so. All right, I'm not recommending it. I'm just asking questions, trying to understand how sinful you are. Okay, so what about The Christmas Story? The Christmas Story, anybody? Okay. One of my family members would turn that on. It was a 24-hour marathon every Christmas. You couldn't walk in a room in the house and not see the lamp. Okay, so what about The Elf? The Elf, anybody? The Elf? All right. What if I didn't say yours? Just clap or shout. I'm so sorry if I didn't, but just if I didn't say yours, I want to give you some love. Okay. I want to settle something once and for all. Okay, Die Hard. It is a Christmas movie? It is a Christmas movie? Yeah? It is not a Christmas movie. Yeah, it's not a Christmas movie. It's not. I'm sorry. Okay, so. No, in all seriousness, though, we're glad you're here. And people attend our Christmas Eve services for different reasons. Some of you, you love God, you're devout Christians, you look forward to this all year. Like me, it's your favorite service of the year to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Others of you, maybe you're kind of what I call the Creaster crowd. You're like, hey, I'm there on Christmas, I'm there on Easter, and if you get me in between, you're very lucky to have my presence at church. And that was me for years, zero judgment. God met me in that place, totally changed my life, and I pray that he does the same for you today. Actually, I don't know how to describe it, but I have a unique amount of faith that God is going to move in this service today. Our team has been praying for you. Our staff was praying for you this week, but I believe God is just moving already in the hearts of people this morning. What an incredible time of worship. Can we give it up for our band? Just thank them for leading us so well. But I really believe that there's many people here. You're not expecting for God to move in your life, but I'm believing God is going to move in your life. You're going to have an encounter with Jesus before you walk out of here today. There's a third group that comes, and it's because you were invited by a friend or family member. Some of you were invited, and you're thrilled to be here. You were excited to get the invitation. Others of you, you're like, man, I'll just be honest. I didn't want to say no. I'd feel really guilty, or I kind of felt like they weren't going to quit nagging me if I didn't just say yes. And then I think there's a fourth group of people. That fourth group, grandma told you you don't get your Christmas present unless you come to church. And you were like, fine, I'll come because I really, really want my Christmas present. Whatever you're here for, I really believe God wants to move and speak to you today. And I believe that he's going to do that in each and every one of our lives. We do want to invite you to join us again in the new year. Our New Year's Eve service, I really believe God has put a word in my heart to help you flourish in your faith in the new year. And so I want to invite you back next Sunday, and then we're kicking off that series in prayer on January 7th. If there's one thing I know, having been a pastor the last 11 years, is that many people don't know how to pray. You want to pray, but you don't know how. We want to help you know how to pray so that you can live a life of prayer, because prayer truly is how we have relationship with God. But today we're in part four of a series titled Prince of Peace. The little bumper video before the sermon kind of gave it away, but this title, Prince of Peace, is out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and it reads like this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." That's good news to us today. It means you don't carry the world upon your shoulders. It means that all that happens in your life is not up to you, but actually it's up to God. "And his name shall be called..." You said, "Isn't his name Jesus?" Yes, it is, but God has given him names as a handle to who he is for us. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." One of the things we've been looking at in this series is that whether you know it or not, we're all searching and longing and looking for peace in this life. We're looking for something to satisfy. We're looking for something to fulfill. We're looking for something when we lay our head on our pillow at night that we know that we know that we know. I'm good. I'm good with God. I'm good with others. I'm good with my life. I'm good with my eternity. I've got purpose in life that is a fulfilling sense of letting me know that, man, I'm good. I'm walking with God. I'm walking in the peace of God. And there's something, this peace, that the world cannot give. The world can't give it. The world can't take it away. Only God can give this peace. This peace is only found in the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. He's who we celebrate today. And to all the Christians in the room, can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is our hope. He is our eternity. He's the one we're looking to give us peace in the midst of life's chaos. But if you're not familiar with the Christmas story, I want to give you some context this morning. It's been 400 years since the Jews had heard from God. And the shepherds are in the field and they're taking care of their flocks. And the angel of the Lord appears and he says this: "Fear not." If I was a shepherd in the field and some angels showed up, I'd be a little afraid too. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." I love that if God thought that we needed advice, he would have sent us a counselor. If he thought we needed better education, he would have sent us a teacher. If he thought we needed better laws, he would have sent us a politician. But instead, God knew that we needed forgiveness. We needed hope, we needed healing, we needed life in our death, and God, in his love for us, sent a Savior. He says that this will be a sign to you. You ask the question, Dylan, what is a sign? A sign is an object that conveys a meaning. It sends a message. You would expect that this king to be born would be born in a palace. He'd be born in purple linen. He would have a glowing halo afloat his head, that this king is the Son of God. He's to be worshipped and adored, but instead, Jesus was born, some say in a barn, but most scholars believe it was actually a hollowed out cave where the animals lived. Jesus was born among stinky animals in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, which are actually burial rags, as a sign that this heavenly royalty was born to die. Luke chapter 2 continues on. He says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, a multitude of angels praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" I love that the angel comes. He says, "Glory, honor, majesty, praise to Jesus Christ." And he declares peace on earth. You know, the songs that we typically sing talk about peace on earth to all men and peace on earth to mankind. But actually what the scripture says is peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. It's not peace to every person. It's only peace to those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. It's peace to God's favored ones, not those who are perfect, not those who live perfect, but peace to those who trust in Christ and Christ alone. This message comes of peace on earth. We're talking about the Prince of Peace, but what we're going to see in the Christmas story is anything but peace. What do you do when you find yourself wondering where God is? What do you do when you think you're doing everything according to God's ways and yet you still find yourself disappointed by God? I think you're going to find that the characters of the Christmas story found themselves in a very similar situation. And so if you're taking notes, the title of today's message is Peace in God's Providence. Or another way you could say it is Peace in Your Pain. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to dive into the message. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here with us today. For your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born on that day over 2,000 years ago. I thank you for your word, which brings us the truth of the Christmas story. And I ask you, oh God, would you minister peace to our hearts? And would many people here in this room this morning call upon the Prince of Peace for hope and healing and salvation? And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, today I want to show you the Christmas story, but I want you to see it through a different lens. I don't want you to just hear kind of the age-old story that you've heard for decades. I don't want you to just kind of see the manger scene the same way you see your nativity scene. I want you to see the Christmas story through the lens of people who are just like you, a man and a woman who had aspirations, who had dreams, who had plans for their life, and those plans got interrupted by a sovereign God. The story begins in Luke chapter 2. Mary has an encounter with the angel Gabriel. We named my son Hudson Gabriel Michael Neely. We just slipped in the two archangels. We just thought we want him to be blessed, so we'll name him after angels. But the angel Gabriel comes and he says to Mary that she will become pregnant with a child from God himself, that this child will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, that he will sit on God's throne, the throne of David, and that there will be no end to the increase of his kingdom. It's an incredible, majestic, weighty prophecy that the angel brings. And Mary, as many of us would be, is afraid. And the angel comforts her, and Mary has an incredible response of trust and obedience in the goodness of God. She utters these words, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary is a woman who is very godly. She trusts in the Lord. She submits her plans to the Lord. And I can only imagine in her excitement after this moment with the angel that she runs to Joseph, who she's betrothed to, who's going to be her husband in the days to come. She runs to him and she says, "Joseph, Joseph, Joseph, you won't believe it. An angel visited me. The angel said, I'm pregnant, that I'm going to be pregnant with God's son. And actually says that his name is Jesus. I know you're supposed to name our kid, but God already named our kid. And actually, Joseph, guess what? Guess what? It's God's son. It's God's. God is going to impregnate me with his Holy Spirit." And I can only imagine Joseph when he hears this. Some of you are thinking, oh, Christmas miracle. Angel dressed in white tells Mary she's pregnant, a word from heaven. Joseph, Joe, oh, Joe. He's probably a godly man. He's probably going to encourage her and support her. I wish my husband was encouraging and supportive. Instead, he just looks forward to sports and eats all my Christmas food and doesn't even say thank. But Joe's a godly man. He's a man of God. He's going to encourage her and support her. What a Christmas miracle. But put yourself in Joe's shoes for a second. Your fiance, who you're betrothed to, who actually legally you're already married to, this woman comes to you and says, "Baby, honey, I got some news for you. I'm pregnant." And not only did he experience probably the humiliation of thinking his fiance cheated on him, but the personal betrayal. This woman is a woman he was going to spend his life with. It's a woman that he loved. It's a woman he was ready to dedicate everything he had to. Not only did he think that she lied and she cheated, but also she came saying, "An angel visited me, and I'm pregnant with God's son." This woman is cray cray, you know, like, and it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, if you don't think I'm telling, it says her husband Joseph, being a just man, he was a righteous man, he was a godly man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph was walking away from the marriage. Mary, this woman who has served God, who has entrusted her life to God, who has said, "God, it's not my plan, but it's your purpose, and so I'm going to submit to it." Mary just finds out her man is walking out of her life. You say, Dylan, what do you mean divorced? I thought they were engaged. Well, Joseph and Mary were betrothed. And in the Hebrew marriage, there's two stages of the marriage. The first is the kiddushin. That's the engagement. The second is the hufa. That's the marriage ceremony. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, kiddushin. Kiddush. Just learn some words on Christmas Eve. You know, turn to your other neighbor and say, hufa. Hufa. Okay. All right. You got it. The engagement, the kiddushin, was a binding contract. The ceremony would have been later. If the man would have died, the woman would have been considered a widow at that point. They're still picking out wedding colors. The invitations are out, and Joseph calls off the marriage. And you're asking the question, how could he? Joe, think about his side of it, the public humiliation, the personal betrayal. Think about Mary's side of it. She's probably 14, 15 years old. She didn't do anything right. All she did was serve the Lord. And her husband-to-be is making plans to divorce her, all because she's doing what God told her to do. Maybe you're here this morning and your life plans have not gone the way you thought they should have. Maybe you're here this morning and you're walking in disappointment. Maybe you're walking in disillusionment because you thought that something would work out this way and instead it's working out this way. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Dylan, I thought I would have been married by now, but I'm still single on Christmas morning. I'm waking up to an empty house. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Dylan, I thought I was going to spend my life with this person, but I lost them. They passed away. They walked away. Maybe it was the marriage that fell apart. Maybe it's your financial world that's falling apart this Christmas. Maybe it's your health that seems to be falling apart. Every single turn, there's another issue. Maybe, just maybe, it's that you had longed for a baby and God has not given you the desire of your heart yet. Maybe it's that you had a child and you lost that child. I don't know what you've walked through. I don't know what you've been through, but I know the God who is with you in it. He's the same God that was with Joseph and Mary in their disappointment, in their disillusionment, in their situation that wasn't according to their plan. Into this drama comes the voice of God, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It's where we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so this morning. So if you want to stand with me to honor the reading of God's word, we're in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. I'm going to read it for us. After I read it, we're all going to say amen, and you can have your seat. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's three things I see in this passage, three ways that you can experience the peace of Christ this Christmas. Number one, the peace of God comes through God's presence. Number two, the peace of God comes through God's promise. And thirdly, the peace of God comes through God's providence. You say, Dylan, what does providence mean? It means that God is working out his plan even when you can't see it, that God is in control and he has a purpose over your life. How do you have peace in God's presence? Well, when the angel visits Joseph here in verse 20, notice that he calls him by name. He says, Joseph. He knows his name. God knows your name. Many of us walk around life feeling like, God, do you even see me? Do you even know me? Do you see what I'm walking through? You're going through something challenging and you're asking the question, how could a good, loving God who's all-knowing and all-powerful, how could he allow me to walk through this? You need to know that God knows your name. God sees you. God knows you. He knows the details of your life and that you are not here by happenstance or by accident, but the Lord himself has brought you here this morning. I think some of us came this morning wanting a cute Christmas service. Let me check the box. Let me get in and out. Let me get my picture and let me get on with my life. And I believe the Lord wants to speak to you today that he knows you. He sees you. He knows you. He wants to walk with you. Number two, the angel comes and says, do not fear. It's the number one command in all of Scripture is to do not fear. That command is almost always accompanied by a promise, which is that the Lord is with you. Notice here that it doesn't say the Lord is with you. Instead, he just says, do not fear. But what does the Lord do instead? Instead of telling Joseph the Lord is with him, he says, the baby in Mary's womb, that baby is God himself. He is Emmanuel, who is God with us. Emmanuel, who is God with us, was Emmanuel for Joseph. He was Emmanuel for Mary. He's Emmanuel for everyone who will call upon his name. When you walk through life, you will experience disappointment. You will experience pain. You will experience heartache. You will experience devastation and loss and even death. But you can experience all of those things with Emmanuel or without Emmanuel. You can experience those things with Christ in your heart or without Christ in your heart. But God, in his love for us, has sent his Son for us that we might know his presence with us no matter what we walk through. His name is Emmanuel. Maybe this Christmas you're sitting around the tree opening presents and your heart is broken because of something going on in your life. Maybe you're around the table and that person isn't there that's always been there. Maybe, just maybe, you're waking up alone this Christmas. Maybe that loved one won't be at the table. Maybe something is happening in your life that makes you to question, God, are you with me or not? He is here to tell you his name is Emmanuel. He is with you. Number two, you can experience peace in God's promise. When the angel comes and says, according to the prophet Isaiah, he is calling upon the prophetic promises on the life of Jesus Christ. If you don't know, there are over 300 prophetic promises given to this Savior who was to come. A matter of fact, in my life, 15 years ago, I was not walking with Jesus Christ. I was that creaster Christian. I was coming here and there, and I sat at the back of a room just like this, and a pastor gave a message just like I'm giving, and he talked about the prophetic promises of the Messiah. It was actually the thing that sealed the deal for me. It was the thing that finally convinced me that Jesus is the Son of God, that there's no denying that he is the one that God has promised. He is the one who will save the world from their sins. Prophecies like him being born of a virgin. It's a beautiful prophecy. It paints the picture of God himself redeeming the world from their sin. But then you look at what's happening, and it's a teenage girl experiencing ridicule and humiliation and harassment, the divorce of her husband. All these things happening because God's promise came. And even though there's pain in the middle of it, God's faithfulness, his promise, his providence remains the same. What about Micah chapter 5, verse 2? It says that he's to be born in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. How's he going to be born in Bethlehem? Well, Caesar Augustus issues this crazy decree, this hometown census, where this 90-mile grueling trip where Joseph and Mary had to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, traveling through the Judean desert on the freezing nights for 2 weeks, walking or riding on a donkey. One of the most terrifying parts would have been the valley of the Jordan River, where they had to deal with robbers and pirates fighting off literally lions and bears and the threat of wild boars. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little chaotic to me. That sounds a little dangerous to me. It sounds a little crazy to me, but this is what Joseph and Mary walked through after the angel said, peace on earth with those whom he is pleased. I mean, Rebecca was 9 months pregnant, and we traveled 30 minutes to the hospital. And if I hit a single bump, I swear it was going to cost us our marriage. You know, I can't imagine. She's an amazing woman. I'm kidding, but I can't imagine 2 weeks on a donkey through the desert, but this is what God led them to. They get to Bethlehem. There's no such thing as hotels.com, no room at the inn. Over a week on the donkey's back, Mary's having contractions. Joseph negotiates this deal with the guy who owns this cave. And I love the song Silent Night. We're going to sing it here in a moment. But can I just say, it's obvious that song was written by a man because there was nothing silent about that night. Like, this woman, 9 months pregnant, 2 weeks on a donkey's back, 90 miles on foot or on a donkey. I'm not talking like, you know, Mercedes-Benz of donkeys either. I'm talking, you know, you're feeling every bump. And this woman has her baby among the dirty animals, dirty shepherds coming to touch her son and, you know, celebrate her son. All she's got in the freezing night to keep her child warm is the warmth of her own body and the straw of the animals. All of this happening. Anybody ever seen a birth? It's not silent, y'all. We cutesy up Christmas so much. It wasn't clean. It was messy. It was chaotic. It was fearful. It was dreadful. And this birth, surrounding this birth, were horrible circumstances. And then before she's even able to decorate the nursery, the angel tells Joseph, hey, Herod's trying to kill your son. So they've got to run for their lives as fugitives to escape to Egypt. Peace on earth? No, anything but peace. Fast forward 3 decades, the girl who 3 decades earlier said yes is now looking on her son nailed on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus stripped naked with nails in his hands and his feet, with his skin torn up so much it looks like cloth flapping in the wind. He says he's unrecognizable. He was so beaten and so stripped of his dignity. And her baby boy, her son, doesn't even look like a person. Jesus, suffering for the sins of the world, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And Mary watches him die. Here's what I want to tell you today. You don't have to understand God's plan to know that God has a purpose. The story of Christmas, no one could have planned it, that God becomes a man, that he's conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he's born wrapped in swaddling cloths as a prophecy that he was to die for the sins of the world, the foreshadowing of the Savior, that he would rise again to new life, to save all people from death. You know, Mary and Joseph, they had a plan, but God had a purpose. And can I tell you something this morning? You were that purpose. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 reads like this. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. If you're here this morning, you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. I just want to take a moment and explain it to you, that this child who was born is the Son of God. He was born of the Holy Spirit, not of a earthly man, so that he could live a perfect, sinless life. He wasn't born into our sin nature. He was born with a sinless nature. Throughout his 33 years on this earth, he did nothing but good. He blessed those who were hurting. He fed those who were hungry. He healed those who were sick. He never once sinned against God. He lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could die in our place for our sins. The Bible says that it was our sins that drove him to the cross. Martin Luther says it like this. He says that each and every one of us carry around his nails in our pockets. That our sin caused the perfect, sinless Son of God to die in our place for our sins upon the cross. That Mary had to look upon her son hanging, beaten, destroyed for all mankind, so that God, in his love for us, could give his son for us as the sacrificial lamb who would die in our place for our sins. And 3 days later, he would rise from the dead, forever conquering Satan, sin, and death, so that this God who was man, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, could become Emmanuel, not just God with us, but God with us in our hearts. That he, by his Holy Spirit, would come to dwell within any who called on his name. And that one day, when Jesus returns, as we celebrate this Advent Sunday, as Jesus returns, that the new heavens would come down upon the new earth. That God would dwell with man, that he would wipe away all evil and injustice and suffering and pain, that he would literally wipe our tears from our eyes, so that God could dwell with us and we could dwell with him as his people for all eternity. The Bible tells us that God has come to save the world, that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And maybe, just maybe, you're here. You've done the cute Christmas thing. You've kind of shown up. You've been through this before, but you've never actually called upon his name for salvation. You say, Dylan, okay, what do I do? I believe, I hear you, but what do I actually do about that? Well, you do what Joseph did in verse 24. It says, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The only appropriate response to what God has done is to receive Christ the Lord, to receive him as your Lord and your Savior. And then secondly, to obey all that he's commanded you to do. God has called us not just to have a ticket to heaven. He's called us not just to have this halfway relationship with Jesus. He's called us to a relationship with his son, where we lay down our life for the one who laid down his life in love for us. If you're here and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it would be my absolute joy to help you take that step today, to believe in Christ this morning for maybe the very first time. And so, band, if I could have you come, church, if I could have you stand, I want to lead us through a brief prayer. Maybe you're here and you say, Dylan, you know, I've done the relationship with God thing in the past, but man, it's been a while since I've walked with God. I believe that today could be a day of returning for many people, that many people will come back to the Lord, back into a relationship with Jesus today for the first time in a long time. For some, maybe that you're attending this Christmas Eve service, you were invited by a friend or a family member. You're here this morning and you're feeling that nudge from God. I remember feeling that nudge 15 years ago at the back of that service. I remember feeling this moment of decision that God was moving on my life. God was nudging my heart. And I had a decision to make. I was either going to say yes to God and devote my life to Jesus and receive his forgiveness and receive his life and begin a relationship with him as my God, or I was going to deny that moment, walk out of that room, and go back to my life without him. I believe that for many today, this moment of decision has come and God wants to meet you in it. God wants to draw you unto himself. The Bible says that when Jesus is high and lifted up, that he will draw all men to himself. Jesus has been high and lifted up. He's ascended into the heavens. He's seated at the Father's right hand. This is not just some phony Christmas story to make us feel good on the inside. This is the reality of heaven and earth. And one day he will return. And he will gather all who have called upon his name to walk with him for all eternity. I'm inviting you into that today. So if I could have every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe your life hasn't worked out the way you expected. Maybe your life is riddled with disappointment and pain. Maybe you're here and you don't even know how you've come to this moment, but you know God is moving on your heart this morning and you're ready to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. You need to know you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to clean yourself up. You can come just as you are because God in his love for you has paid it all in the death of his son. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you on the count of three, if you know that today's the day for you to receive Christ as the Lord of your life and receive forgiveness for your sins, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here in just a moment. If you know that today is the day of returning for you, you're coming back to God. On this Christmas Eve morning, you're going to make a decision to say, God, I'm coming back. I'm not running away. I'm not walking my own way anymore. I'm coming back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know that's you, on the count of three, I want to ask you to boldly and courageously raise your hand. No one's looking. Just a moment for you to say, God, that's me, and to say, Dylan, count me in that prayer. If that's you, friends, on the count of three. One, two, raise them up high all across the room. Three, put your hand in the air. Say, that's me. That's me. Pray for me. I see you there in the middle. I see you in the back. God is here this morning. I see you there in the front. He loves you. He knows you. If that's you and you haven't done it yet, just put your hand in the air. Say, that's me, Dylan. Pray for me. Pray for me. It's not too late to make this moment of decision a moment of salvation in your life. I see you over there in the left side of the room. The Lord sees you. He knows you. Just keep your hand in the air for a moment. Say, God, that's me. Save me today. God, that's me. Move in my life. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. Our whole church is going to pray it with you, so no one's praying it alone. You can put your hands down, friends. Church, we're going to pray this prayer to stand with those who just made that decision. So I want to ask every person in the room, pray it with me. Say, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died in my place for my sins. I confess I am a sinner. I need you to save me. Please wash my sins away and give me new life in Christ. I surrender all that I am and all that I have to you, Lord Jesus. All God's people said,